You want to know what it's like,
ladies and gentlemen,
you can experience going to
the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Very simple.
Broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Fukushima irradiated too, and everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Mike Harris from Republic Broadcasting. And here was the other thing. The other sides of the illegal immigration story. One is how bad it is for the U.S. economy and the U.S. worker and all of these economic ramifications and social changes that happen. And the other thing is, why are they fleeing Mexico in such massive numbers? What the hell is so bad going on in Mexico that they feel that the United States is better? And the answer is huge corruption, massive drug cartels all over the place, violence, disorder, etc., etc. I mean, most people are just living out their lives happily, but there's a lot more of an overt corruption going on there. Like you say, New Zealand is corrupt, and I can back up the evidence for that ad infinitum. But you can't bribe a New Zealand police officer on the street like you can in Mexico, even though our corruption's just maybe just as bad. There's this veneer, okay, that is over the top, like a mask on the Phantom of the Opera, that prevents you from seeing the real dark underbelly sometimes in America and New Zealand and these other Western countries or alleged first world countries or whatever. Whereas in Mexico, it's far more overt. And I was wondering, do you know actually any more details on that, Mike, about the plight of the poor Mexicans?
Well, I can give you a lot of things, but let me give you a little background first on the corruption issue. And this is something you can notice globally, and it goes back to colonialism. Any place where the Brits colonized usually has a nice veneer of being a lawful place to be. It really is. You look at Singapore, you look at Australia, look at New Zealand, look at the U.S., Canada. Any place where Britain had a major role in the colonization was pretty good. Now you look at where Spain colonized, Mexico, South America, the Philippines. All of these places are the most corrupt cesspools you ever wanted to think of in your entire life. And I can't explain it, but there must be some cultural thing that the Spaniards did back in colonial days, because everywhere they set the Spanish flag down and claimed this for king and queen of Spain has turned out in our century to be among the most corrupt places on earth. That's one issue. The other thing, and I wrote an article on Veterans Today about this, it's called In Defense of the Mexican People. Because I wrote a previous article earlier about how our foreign policy with Mexico was a failed policy and needs to be revisited. Then I came back with one that says, you know, in defense of the Mexican people, NAFTA had such a devastating effect on rural agriculture in Mexico that it really, literally drove the people off of the land. And so that's why we have entire towns in Mexico that there's no men left. They've all left to come up north to go to work because they couldn't feed their families. Now, do I have compassion for them? Yes, I do. But I also have to say, you're not going to solve your problems hiding behind me. You have to go back to Mexico and you have to solve your own problems down there. And you look at it, we have 50 million illegal aliens in this country right now living here, you know, taking up residence, you know, essentially squatting in the U.S. With no legal right to be here. Can you imagine? Mexico has 113 million people. If those 50 million Mexicans would go back to Mexico en masse and demand structural change in how their governments are run, you think they'd get it?
Yeah, they would.
You think they'd have an effect on their government?
See,
that's what one of our propaganda initiatives has to be, is to inspire the Mexican people to go back home to they're nationalistic, they're patriotic, they love their people, they love their country. We have to convince them that it's possible for them to go back to Mexico and make the changes they want to see in their own government.
Also, there have been many revolutions throughout history that have been fostered and supported by neighboring countries that are free, that help them to be free, whether that be supplying intelligence or propaganda support or things of that nature. You know, even if they went back all en masse, they still wouldn't be alone. Because whenever you settle anywhere, you always plant roots, and you will have friends, family, confidants, contacts, etc., that may in turn turn into some form of a supply line for your revolution, as it were.
Well, it appears that our Department of Justice, through the BATF, is arming the wrong people when they're arming the drug cartels. What do you think?
I think so. I think you should arm the average Mexican citizen. And as happens in every single time that you arm the citizenry, crime rates drop dramatically because criminals love unarmed victims.
Well, Mexico has some of the most stringent and draconian drug laws in North America. And if you're caught in possession of a weapon there, you can be imprisoned and or executed for it, depending on what your intent is. But I guess if you're a drug cartel big shot, and you can buy your way out of it, I guess that works too.
Mm-hmm. I presume you're familiar with John Lawton, Sheriff Richard Mack, and the whole more guns, less crime scenario.
And yes, I am.
What you find is that criminals don't obey gun ban laws, and as a direct result, all the law-abiding citizens who would never hurt anybody or pull their gun on anyone in violence unless they were threatened, basically, you wind up, by banning guns, giving almost the exclusive use of guns to criminals, both those in uniform and those who run cartels.
Well, that's a really good point there, because the criminals in uniform issue is getting more and more attention in this country, and the U.S. citizens are waking up to the abuse of process that our law enforcement in this country is going with. I mentioned earlier that, you know, back in the Andy Griffin days, when law enforcement, you know, sheriffs were police officers, they were peace officers. They're no longer peace officers. Most times they're brutal thugs. And with the advent of cell phone cameras and the like, we're recording more and more and more just unprovoked police violence against innocent people. And it's got to stop. It really does. And, you know, otherwise, you know, things are going to get much uglier here in the U.S. And I am not without hope. I still have faith in the American people, but I don't have faith in our government anymore. So we need a complete regime change in the USA, and I mean not just our government. The government needs to go. We need a new government, need all new elected officials, and we need a new bureaucracy to implement the laws that are on the books, because we've got plenty of laws. We have too many laws. In fact, I would propose a sunshine law, that every 10 years a law has to come up for review, and either if it doesn't pass review a second time, it gets put in the wastebasket. You know, it's no longer valid. But we need to do something. We have so many laws on the books, nobody can follow all the laws. They can arrest anybody for anything, anytime. They just have to look for the right statute to violate.
Mm-hmm. And it's innocent until presumed. What was it? You're supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty,
yes.
But now you are assumed to be guilty until you prove your innocence. So, in essence, everybody's guilty in order to keep everybody safe. But if everybody's guilty, nobody's safe.
Well, that's another issue here, because you look at the illegal immigration problem we have. You know, 99% of the illegal immigrants are from Mexico or other, you know, Latin American countries. They operate under Napoleonic code, where they're guilty until proven innocent. So they come up here to the U.S., they're out drunk driving, they have a car accident. What do? They leave the scene. They don't stick around. They leave. You know, if the United States still needs that type of labor, that low-skilled labor, if we need to have a guest worker problem, our program, let's follow the Singapore model. It's an excellent model. And that is where the employer can recruit as many foreign workers as he wants, but he has to feed them, he has to house them, he has to pay them. And if they go out and get in trouble, let's say drunk driving and have an accident, he's responsible for them. He doesn't stick the taxpayer with them. If they get injured, he's responsible for their medical bills, not going into an emergency room like they do here and stick the U.S. taxpayers for it. If they have children, he's responsible for educating their children. These are all common sense things where if you need that labor, fine, you can have it. But you have to take responsibility for that labor. You're not allowed to shift the burden of that responsibility onto the American taxpayers.
or onto entirely the immigrants themselves, because moving to another area of the world where you don't have a social network or family members around to support you, that's becoming an essential part of life, and it's deeply integral to many cultures to have a huge family and have everybody supporting each other and helping each other, taking care of the kids. When you move to another country, you lose all that, and so you have to somehow replace it. And unless you're maybe like me, who can make friends in 5 minutes, you're going to be in real trouble. And if you fall on hard times, there'll be nothing to catch you other than, as you so put it, the taxpayer and the other people around you who wind up paying for you by default. That said, the specific non-enforcement of US code on illegal immigrants, I find, is also another big problem. I think it's been reported that many police, even if they catch an illegal immigrant, with drugs or driving offences or simply being an illegal immigrant, the general shorthand is just let them go.
Well, a lot of times that happens because they know that these people don't have the financial wherewithal. And that's another thing that happens. You know, these illegals come up here, they're looking for the better life, and they're told a pack of lies. They think they're going to come up here and make the big bucks. But they'll get a job in a meat processing plant working 16 hours a day for less than minimum wage, and then they're charged room and board by the guy who hires them, and it's they're really abused. They really have the lowest amount of human rights that you can give them and keep them working.
Hold on. You said that you hire them, you pay them, and then you make them pay to keep you alive, kind of thing. That sounds exactly like the process of human sex trafficking.
Well, it's very similar to that, and you look at these big companies, the big meatpacking plants. I'm not going to name names; I don't want to get sued. But anybody who goes to your grocery store and buys bacon, look at the label of it, and you know that they're hiring illegal labor in there, and that these people are charged room and board to have a place to live when they're not at work, and they work them. The OSHA standards are non-existent. The health standards are non-existent. And it's really a life of exploitation for these people. But you know what? It's better than what they came from, so they're glad to do it. And so my premise is that how do we inspire the Mexican people to go back, to leave the USA and go back and reform their country in a way that makes it so people want to live there, so that they'd be proud to live there, that they can make a living, support their family. Like you said, they're taking big risks coming up here, and they seem all too happy to do it.
Well, the other thing about it is, as you talked about the meat works and what have you, enormous amounts of accidents happening in these facilities, and no compensation for the worker. They just go, you're an illegal immigrant. We got there, and this is the thing: you have no power to defend yourself and no access to justice if you're an illegal immigrant. That's why I'm against illegal immigration of any kind. Because that person becomes wide open to somebody standing over them and exploiting them. That is too dangerous. And, of course, you're giving inordinate amount of power to those employers who may or may not be ethical, moral, or open and transparent. And, indeed, there's been many reports of sexual exploitations of female migrants by higher-ranking workers in meat manufacturing plants and what have, and propositioning them for sex in the promise that they'll be able to keep their job. And if they turn them down, he calls immigration on them and threatens them if they don't.
Well, that's the nature of what's going on, and that's why this practice has to stop. And you really, you know, I can't solve Mexico's problems. I'm working on solving the problems of the U.S. by coming up with good ideas and trying to circulate these ideas via, you know, this forum on the radio, and trying to get people to wake up and realize that there's things that they can do and how to do them. But I can't solve Mexico's problems. That's beyond my scope right now. But I would certainly like to see the people of Mexico go back home and solve their own problems, because I look at the U.S., this is my country. I mean, my family, we are not a nation of immigrants. Let me correct the misconception there. I am at least, I can document that my family has been in this country for at least 8 generations. I possess the records. I possess the handwritten records of my family Bible that go back to Missouri when they first settled there back to 1808, right after the Louisiana Purchase. And if I believe what Ancestry.com tells me, my family's lived in here, this country, maybe 12 or 13 generations. So I'm not an immigrant. I'm Native American, born and bred, and I have no other country. I've known no other country. I mean, there's nothing else for me. This is it for me. And I've got to defend this territory. I've got to protect this. And, you know, I look at what's best for my country, what's best for my people. And that's what I have to concern myself with.
Well, I think it's the whole idea of being insular and not globalization. I think that is what we need to do in order to reverse this, don't you think? Because if you're going out trying to solve everybody else's problems that you're not familiar with, you wind up causing more harm than good. Rather, you just take a sit back and focus on what is going on here. Because if you can't support or protect yourself, how are you going to support or protect somebody else? You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break with Mike Harris.